live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Fired up today. Fired up. I feel like there's like a gazillion sporting events going on tonight. Main focus is on what's going on in the NFL. I think the Bucks are going to challenge the Chiefs tonight. We do have 15 NBA games as we're doing the entire slate. Every game's going to start 15 minutes apart, so we'll get to some NBA a little later on. Front yard, Ellis Island, awesome menu. You got the all-you-can-eat special. You got the all-you-can-drink beer special. We'll be giving away multiple packs of those for future football Sunday viewing. By the way, good news next week, and this is me saying this, Sunday Night Football, little flex action. We were driving home last night, I crap you not, and the discussion between the SO and myself after kind of watching a lackluster Vikings-Colts game was, because she saw the promo for the Jets on again, and she's like, again? Not anymore. I texted her earlier. I'm like, yeah, you got your wish. Now, I don't know if she wanted this. Her Chargers actually get flexed with the Bengals to Sunday Night Football. Jets out.
Who are the Jets playing?
Now I'm blanking on it. I had it right on the tip of my tongue. And it wasn't a completely awful game. Was it Browns? I think it might be the Browns.
Let me see.
Which, you know, Jameis Winston's fun.
Yeah.
But enough of the Jets.
His interviews are almost as good as his game.
The Jets, before the season, Greg, were slotted to be in primetime football 6 times out of 17 games. I mean, that's just stupid. And then the way they flopped, I can only watch the TV talking head shows talk about the Jets so much.
Yeah.
You realize Friday we did a show after Thursday Night Football with Aaron Rodgers on it. The Jets won the game, and we didn't talk about that game for 1 minute.
That's a good point.
Jets fan.
That's a good point.
Like, I don't – it's stupid.
They're playing your favorite team, by the way. The Cardinals.
Oh, now I'm mad. No. Hey, you're right. Cardinals. I don't know why I said Browns. Cardinals. Yeah, late slot. Okay.
Yeah. Your boy Gannon.
Here's the thing. If the game sucks, and I got other games to watch.
It's true.
But I feel bad for the rest of the country, and we've said this before. When the Giants and Jets, just because the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut pukes all, you know, they're going to watch it. They're going to love their misery. Like, the rest of the country should not be subjected to a dysfunctional Jets team or an even worse Giants team.
I mean, I guess you're right, but then when you put the Chargers and Bengals on instead, it's like, who cares? Wow, what a great game.
I think it is actually an important game. Chargers have had a few good games here where they've shut people down, so their defense is good. I don't know, man. I'd rather see – I guess it's about the same matchup.
I'd rather watch the Jets-Cardinals, I think, than the Bengals.
I want the Jets – if the Jets game stinks, I want it buried so I can flip the other game.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Enough.
All right,
Big Five time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
That was a flashback to Big Five at Five. Now we do Big Four at Four. Salerno, Cofield. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400. The call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. And, of course, office for Battleborn in Reno, downtown Vegas, Summerlin, and Henderson. So we barely touched on the Joel Embiid encounter with a Philadelphia columnist. So Marcus Hayes, I think his name is?
Yeah.
Embiid got mad at him for something he wrote, threatened him, and then pushed him on his shoulder. A security guard trying to break it up then pleaded with everyone, do not report this. Like, bruh, cat's out of the bag.
That's weird. Yeah.
It's not going to get covered up.
Yeah, a bunch of reporters aren't going to report it. That makes sense.
This was written up as, well, I'll read you the quotes. Next time you bring up my dead brother or my son again, you're going to see what I'm going to do to you. This is Embiid. And I'm going to have to live with the consequences. Yes, you are. And he said, this is not the blanking first time. Did you go back and read what the guy wrote about his brother and his son?
I did. It was pretty innocuous, honestly.
I thought it was completely innocuous. Now, is it personal? Yeah. The guy got personal. He wrote about 10 days ago, and I'll point out, folks, I know that this doesn't do any good, but when you see a story, take like 5 minutes to see what the story actually is, because so few people went back. And this is why aggregators mostly suck. These are the people who take links from others and then rewrite the story and then leave out an important detail like, what did the guy write that he's mad about? Please put it at the top of the story. This columnist wrote about 10 days ago, Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son Arthur as the major inflection point in his career. He often says that he wants to be great, to leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother. So Joel Embiid's brother Arthur passed. His son is named Arthur. And the guy pointed to, hey, you wanted to leave a legacy. Now we examine you not playing. I mean, you can get mad about that, but to turn it into a push and a threat, I think it's overboard.
Well, it goes back to the same thing with Kels. It's family stuff. So, I mean, I'm not going to say I understand that he should have done it, but myself being a hothead, I've done things like that before, so I do understand how you could do something and then be like, oh, man. Like, if I'm Embiid right now, I think if you got him to be honest, he's probably like, man, I wish I didn't do that. But, you know, you mess with people's family, sometimes you're going to get touched up. Now, I'm not saying he should do it, but I wouldn't bring up somebody's family in my article. I just wouldn't do it.
I don't think Joel Embiid is stupid. So by saying what I'm going to say next, it's not what I'm suggesting, but I feel like someone does need to sit him down and explain what has happened and what is happening right now, that him not playing in games without an explanation and having played in the Olympics, there's some optics here. There's some issues. And that's why people are coming after him. And then it's also a hot-button issue because the Sixers are asking for a new arena and their best player is not playing. And yeah. Then there's stuff he can't control, like the NBA has a perception image that makes it look like some of the biggest stars are only in for it for like 75% of the games each season.
You can say that without bringing up his little brother and, you know, all that stuff. I mean,
no, there's no doubt it's personal.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's worth, you know, pushing someone. I'm not going to call it assault or battery or whatever.
I get it. Like, we all have history with some people probably that we don't particularly like. So you're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt if they say something, you know, and if it's about your family. I mean, again,
I know, but there's lots of people I would like to punch in the face who I don't like.
Right.
But I also know there's repercussions. I'm also someone who can cool down pretty quickly, and someone can go, listen, this is what happened. I mean, you're not seeing it, right?
Right.
Someone's got to do that to Joel Embiid. Like, you're not going to win this war. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying before the Olympics. I don't know why any NBA teams outside of guilt would allow their $40, $50, $60 million player to play in, I mean, yay, USA.
Dude,
what is really a meaningless exhibition? We're the best country in the world when it comes to basketball.
Right.
If we send the A team, the B team, the Z team. Now, I know there's also people who are going to be like, you know, he's not playing for his country. What the hell's wrong with it? If the organization, like, I'll give you another one. In baseball?
Oh.
That World Baseball.
Don't even get me started.
A
pitcher?
No way are you pitching.
Yeah, you got your starting pitcher throwing in December? What, are you serious? That's the most ridiculous thing ever.
The Mets 2 years ago with Edwin Diaz?
Yeah.
Down for the year.
Ridiculous. Dude, when that came out, I was so mad. I forget who it was at the time, but the Yankees had a starting pitcher that I was pitching. They're like, hey, he usually starts in March. He's warming up right now. It's, you know, December. I'm like, the guy's arm's going to be done by the time he gets to the season.
The Lakers should have never let Anthony Davis play. Now, so far he's been good. He's actually having one of the best years of his career.
Yeah.
But is he going to be ready to go when it really counts? In April, May, and June. June would be a dream to make it to the NBA Finals.
Well, even LeBron, he's like 70. He's playing in the Olympics.
I never understood why an off-injured guy who was coming off a season where he couldn't finish the season was playing 3 months later in the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. What was Kawhi doing there?
I don't even know why he started.
Yeah, why did he even go?
And then I think the team was like, you can't play, man. What
right.
are you doing here?
Yeah, and then he's not even playing in the NBA at all.
Number three. Griffin sends over a story today. I didn't see this. The Atlanta Falcons social media team took a shot at Cowboy fans after beating Dallas. Team posted the score of the game on Twitter and stated, quote, tough week to be a Yankees fan. You're a Yankees fan.
That's pretty funny.
But you know what they're saying.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Usually Yankees fans are also Lakers and Cowboys fans, I think is the joke. And it's pretty funny. I laughed at it.
No offense taken.
No offense taken.
In fact, that would be another rant I've done many times. I don't need to do it again. But you know, by looking at someone age-wise, what was happening with their local team, if they're a fan of a team outside of where they came from. You quit, maybe wisely, so you don't have to sound like me at the beginning of this hour with the Jets. But we know why you're a whatever fan, because they were winning at the time when you're formulating you know, what sort of fan you were going to be in, who you were going to root for. By the way, Yankees note, I understand the business we're in. It doesn't mean we're fake, okay? Stop listening to that. Fake news. But when I saw the Gerrit Cole opting out of contract with the Yankees, that is bait. Now it's on you, the reader, to do a little bit of research. Now, you gave them what they wanted because you gave them the click. But the story was he had 4 years left on his deal. 4 years, $144 million. He opted out. If the Yankees technically wanted to keep him under that contract, they'd have to add a fifth year, which would put him at age 39 for another $36 million. The news came out today. Oh, he's staying with the Yankees on the same exact deal. He didn't get the fifth year. What do you think happened here?
I think that he looked at the market and...
Bingo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth a try.
Sure.
But I'm sure they sent feelers out and they're like, you're 34. You're not the most durable guy. You're making 36 a year now. What do you think you're getting? Like five for 250? Because that ain't going to happen.
And I'll be honest. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, he must have had some really bad news in the market because I don't think he wants to be a Yankee anymore after what happened in the playoffs and his reaction. Maybe he's just mad, but he didn't look like he was very happy with the team.
Number two.
Number two.
Griffin, are you all sassy about your Bears? And what happened? Did Charles Davis piss you off?
Charles Davis didn't piss me off. What pissed me off is that he's stating the obvious of saying, why is Caleb Williams still in the game during garbage time when the Bears have already lost? They're already, you know, need to shift the focus to next week. And instead, we got our franchise first overall quarterback out there getting his hamstring torn apart because Eberflus wants to either prove a point or whatever it is. But it's ridiculous. Anybody who's been following along with the Bears knows this is just going with the trend of what this season has been.
I don't get what you're saying. If I'm the coach, Caleb Williams is closing out the game. Unless he's got a previous injury. Now we have to take out rookie quarterbacks?
To preserve.
At the end of games that are blowouts?
I mean,
play! Play! You're not good! Nah, play! More plays!
I'd take him out, too.
I just don't agree with that.
This is getting ridiculous. Everyone needs to be protected at the end of the game.
It's about your investment. You put your car in the garage at night, right?
That is a very good point.
He could just easily get hurt, whatever he hurt, his hamstring, in the first 15 plays of next week.
Well, you could say that about anything. The less times he takes snaps, then the less chance it is he gets hurt.
Come on. Keep him out of the field. Like I said, he's the 31st-ranked quarterback by PFF. He's had some good moments.
That's pretty good.
Most of it, yeah, it's not good. Most of it's not been. He needs the reps. Number one.
Number one.
Uh-oh. Raiders owner in hot water. No, not that one. Not the real owner. We have to examine this a little bit with Tom Brady. We started hitting this on Monday. So, Griffin, did he actually get guff over making a comment about the officials in the game he was calling?
A lot of people were thinking he was going to get some kind of penalty from the NFL. The NFL came out and said that what he said about the player getting ejected, not agreeing with that call from the refs, the NFL came out and said, nope, that's fine. It's not a big deal.
Good.
But... it's just it's teetering on that line of Tom Brady's going to start getting some nasty water here with both jobs.
Let him do his job. Your partner's with Fox. I'm sure he's going to be careful. All of a sudden, I'm a big Tom Brady backer now.
Yeah, what the hell's going on over here?
Big change, man. You know, he owns a team locally. We kind of need him to do well. This 2-7 stuff ain't helping us at all.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN. Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Still time to get in to Teenies and Weenies, big martini and football get together. A ladies' night upstairs here, VIP at the front yard. The mega section of the front yard, of course, is open for Chiefs and Bucks and NFL fans and NBA fans. Come on down. We're giving away all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink specials. We've got tons of other prizes, including UNLV football when they're back in town against San Diego State. Salerno, Cofield. We've barely gotten to the NFL slate. We'll get into more of the Raiders stuff today. Another tumultuous day as they fire three assistants. 2-7 start. Desmond Ridder got in the game yesterday, so who knows what's going to happen long-term in the second half and Greg, you're still alive. You're still alive for your 9-win prediction.
Yeah, they just have to win out.
It's not looking great.
No, I don't think it is.
No. Playing bad football, and now the defense looks like it's fractured from time to time. So if you're going to have the Bengals blow up on you, you can't really stay in games, especially with an offense that still could not run the ball. So we got on the topic of college football and the unpredictability from here. It's very balanced. You'll have old school folks, for some reason, are lamenting the fact that there isn't an obvious, dominant, great team. But that comes on the heels of many other people the last 15 years talking about having college football fatigue because seemingly the same 7 or 8 schools were vying for the national title every year. So without even trying, because this is the way college football works, it wasn't like they intentionally did something good. Without even trying, the conference realignment, the explosion of the transfer portal, and the legality of NIL now gives everyone a fighting chance, most schools a fighting chance, to be pretty good at football. It gives many more a chance in given years to be great at football because we know so much of the fortunes with a football program comes down to their quarterback. And if you pick the right transfer quarterback, or maybe you're lucky enough to keep a couple in your program, which is really hard now, then you can be in the mix with the big boys. And if you look at, Greg, a lot of the schools that maybe you're not accustomed to seeing in the top 10, they almost all have a transfer quarterback.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But I don't get mad at kids because if I went to Alabama and, you know, I'm told I have a chance at the starting job maybe a couple years in, and then I realize, like, I have no chance, and you keep recruiting over me, then I'm leaving. So Pittsburgh is off to whatever it is, a 7-1 start. They've got a kid who was at Alabama. Then there's also the cases of, hey, the big boys and even like the medium-sized guys didn't give me a chance. So Curtis Rourke was in the MAC. Unbelievable quarterback. Was in the MAC because they didn't give him a chance at the next level. Indiana needs a quarterback. By the way, Florida State needed a quarterback. USC probably needed a quarterback. Indiana got the quarterback, and they're unbeaten. I love that. I love the ability for kids to go, you know what, I want to play. I only have 4 or 5 years. I'm leaving. That's not immaturity. And is it a little bit selfish? Yeah, but you know what? Athletic careers are finite. Like, I don't have 9 years to go to college. Like, if you piss away a couple of my years and I don't really have a chance to play, I get to go to somewhere else. That's maybe a step below, but still really good for an education and all that. So I love what's happening right now, and it is going to create so much pressure on everyone. Like Steve Kim said a couple minutes ago, like, well, you can lose a game and you're still – yeah, that's like the NFL. Everyone holds up the NFL as the holy freaking grail. College football is going to be more like the NFL. There's money, Greg, in almost every market.
Yeah, I think
– now, not $20 million like Ohio State, but there's money in every single market. So if you have a couple mil to spend on your football program, you can get good players, you can keep guys around, and you can play competitive football, and now it's pretty balanced.
I would compare it more to baseball. Like, you know, is it good when the Royals are good and they win a World Series? Sure, it is for smaller markets like that. But as a whole, right, everybody's complaining, oh, it's the Yankees and the Dodgers. And guess what? They had the most ratings. They beat the Monday Night Football in ratings. So,
but I think playing sports and participating in sports and rooting for sports is about hope, is about being able to hit the reset button every year and going, you know what? If we have a good offseason, we got a chance. If things go right and we're healthy, we got a chance. And I'll bring this up all the time. The thing that drives me nuts about baseball fans is if you look at some of the biggest pissers and moaners in baseball, Royals fans are Kansas basketball fans. Oh, so having money and being Goliath is okay for your college basketball program, but, oh, the Royals with their billionaire owner. Oh, what was us? I would guess most Guardian and Reds fans are Ohio State fans.
Oh, what was us in baseball?
Oh, but you're cool with Ohio State being able to cheat and buy players for 50 years and being a dominant program.
I think it will help during the regular season. I think it might hurt a little bit ratings-wise in the playoffs. Because, like, same thing with the NBA. The NBA right now, oh, ratings, what's going on? Oh, politics. Dude, there's no LeBron versus Steph anymore. That's why the ratings are down. Yeah.
And there's going to be a case where a non-traditional football school has a couple of years where they're, you know, Butler played Duke in the national title game in college basketball. It didn't do well ratings-wise, but it boosts the sport. Like, everyone's got hope. And
sure.
In the end, I don't want to sound like a complete cheeseball, but in the end, I also, like, college sports are for the kids, not the crusty old adults. And the ability for kids to play, get playing time, maybe it's not going to be at their first destination. I think everyone going into a season should have some outside shot of winning a national title. You didn't have that in college football.
No, that's a good point. And, you know, just right here at UNLV, the students were not really – I remember when I first moved here, you go to games, there's six people there, you know. I think it's great for the city to have them be good because now you have a giant stadium.
They weren't good, and there was very little upside.
Right.
And guess who's used the transfer portal as well as anyone, right? They take guys from supposed levels above. They've got two former Arkansas players who lead their defense. They've got – I just talked to a defensive lineman today, Alex Whitmore, who was probably under-recruited coming out of high school and was at Austin Peay. Now he gets to move up a level. He's with UNLV, and now he's on a 6-2 team with still the slightest shot at the college football playoff. So I think what's happening now is awesome. Now, I'm not objective on this. It's always what I wanted to see. I wanted to see college football be like other sports and have a playoff where, you know, 8, 12, 16 teams make it in. And let's not vote on who's the champion.
Yeah, that's dumb. I agree with you there.
Yep. NFL season's over. Lions are the champ. What?
Yeah, right?
I say they're the best. They're the best. Come on.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Bengals could never beat them. I mean, look at their record. Right? It defies logic.
Yeah, no, it is. The Giants would never have been Super Bowl champions.
It's so dumb. And here's the great thing that they set up without even realizing they set it up, is when they put this together with this playoff system, they said, hey, there's going to be four byes. It's the four highest-rated conference champions. But they blew it in not saying it's the four highest Power Four conference champions. So Boise State right now, and I didn't check all of them today. I haven't seen any, because people love doing the mock brackets, right? Just like they do in college basketball. You do your field of 68 early and keep updating it. The notion is that whoever makes it from the group of five is going to be the 12 seed. Not if they're one of the four highest seeds. If they're a conference champ and they're higher rated than a Big 12 team, the champ, then they're going to get the four seed. So the Big 12 is crushing each other.
Right, cannibalizing.
So right now Boise State's the second highest rated team between the Big 12 and the Mountain West Conference. So if Boise, now that would mean probably beating UNLV or someone else in the Mountain West Conference. I don't really want to see that happen. But if it's going to happen, I would love to see Boise be a four seed, get a bye in the first round, while a lot of the supposed big boys have to play a game in the first round, and people are going to melt down because I don't think they realize how this playoff system was set up.
The more I look at that Boise State game, the more it looks good for UNLV. Because,
of course it does.
I mean, they were in that game. They could have won that game if it wasn't for a couple stupid calls. I mean,
we were watching a little bit the San Diego State Boise game, and San Diego State got run off the field. I mean, like, not even competitive.
Yeah, they got trounced. So, I mean, I think I would be confident with UNLV going against anybody, at least being competitive.
And here's the other one, because so many teams, you know, can knock off other squads, and right now they might be like 26th in the pecking order to get in the playoffs at the 11 slots. Colorado's a team that got off to a crap start. I wrote them off.
I did too.
They're 6-2. They're in the Big 12. If they win out and win the Big 12 title, could happen. You know, they have one of the great quarterbacks in college football. Colorado could make the playoff after being written off after 4 weeks. What a story that's going to be. Is this guy the Heisman? If Shedeur Sanders, you know, is he more valuable than Travis Hunter? Does that make Travis Hunter the guy? Do they split votes? If they go 10-2 and they're challenging for a spot in the college football playoff, can you imagine Deion Sanders making the college football playoff? Now there's going to be NFL teams who are going to be like, oh, boy. And other schools, like Florida State, the fans there are like, we hate Mike Norvell, our coach. Bring in Deion. Think about the stories that are going to happen the next 6 weeks in college football. It's awesome.
It is shocking. Like, I would never have guessed they would be 6-2 right now. No, if you'd asked me, no way. And I think there is like a – people like to hate Deion a little bit just because what he says in the media and stuff like that. So there's like a big F you to everybody right now. Like, wow. Oh, yeah? Well, look at this.
I bet you he won't mention that F you at all. I bet you he's going to
– Yeah. He'll be very humble about it, I'm sure.
He's going to handle it with total class. We'll get an update on our picks for Circa Million, how we did this weekend. And there's one guy in this group picking his own team. Just an absolute no-no. We're hanging out here at Ellis Island on a Monday. Come on down. So many cool things going on. By the way, for rideshare drivers, come in, show your proof that you're a rideshare, and you can get the steak and egg special for just $9.
Wow.
One of these hidden gems here at Ellis Island.
For Monday Night Football at the Front Yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company.
Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat the turkey like a good boy should. Cause it's turkey to eat, so good. Thanksgiving is a special night.
Halfway point of Cofield and Company here at Ellis Island Front Yard. Monday Night Football party coming up. Bucks and Chiefs will give some betting angles here in just a couple. Big weekend for the favorite straight up. By the way, Patrick Mahomes' last 17 primetime starts, 14-3. So he's pretty good when the brightest lights are on. Next hour.
So's Andy Reid.
Yeah, Andy Reid's, as we started building last week, a couple more years like this, he is the greatest coach of all time in NFL history.
Definitely top three now, I think.
I mean, I think a guy like Joe Gibbs is extremely underrated because he won a Super Bowl three times with three guys who no one would ever put in the top 30 quarterbacks of all time. He did it three times. Andy Reid didn't win a Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb, but they made it, and they dominated the NFC.
It's true.
And now he's got a great one here. Belichick really hasn't shown that he can do it without Brady. And, you know, based on the way the NFL season's going right now with so many potential openings coming up at head coach, Belichick, who was kind of left for dead after last year, like only the Falcons kicked the tires, and even they were like, nah.
Right.
He's going to have a line like six or seven deep of people who are like, we're desperate.
I think what hurts
you're old, but we're desperate.
I think what hurts Joe Gibbs is that he came back and tried again, and it just looked like the league had left him behind.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I'm not saying that he's not great. I'm just saying if you're talking about the top three ever, I think it kind of hurts him a little bit in that top conversation.
Interesting enough, George Seifert is up for a Hall of Fame nomination, but his second go-around was with the Carolina Panthers, and he was terrible.
Right.
I guess a lot of this comes down to who you have at quarterback. It's only a handful of coaches and organizations that have won with Trent Dilfer types.
Right.
Ain't many. Right?
No, you're right.
Usually it's
you need like an all-time Ravens defense or a Tampa defense back then or whatever.
I mean, another guy who's up for the Hall of Fame first year, which he absolutely should not be a first ballot guy, is Eli Manning. If you ranked all the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, Eli Manning is probably in the bottom eight, and Tom Coughlin got a couple with him.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That was a good coaching job.
Yeah, that's insane. All the talk about being late to meetings and all this other crap, he winds up winning two Super Bowls with probably the most mediocre quarterback ever.
I feel like I've got to clear more space out on this topic for you because you send it in every day. So I want you to start the topic and we'll get to it.
What is it?
Well, there's a couple things. You saw that John Fisher last week, myself and my family are going to put up over $1 billion for this stadium. And I didn't put it in the show because I don't think the story means anything. They're just words.
Well,
when that money is in the bank, when the money is needed to start breaking ground, if his money, wherever he got it from, is there, then that's when it's there. But saying it, and you know what? To Steve Hill, who's, you know, it's a weird thing with the, seems like a conflict of interest. If he tells us, hey, we don't need to know the financial details, okay. You better hope your buddy John Fisher has the money when it's ready to go. That's what he said. They're ready.
I think the only reason I think it's a big deal is because it is a complete change in tone from like what he's been. He's basically acting like he's doing us a favor this entire time by bringing his crappy team here. And it's like, we don't want you, dude. And it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, we will come there, but. And it's like conditions. And it's like, so him at least saying, hey, I'm going to try to pay for the stadium, I think is news only because he's never said anything like that before.
You saw that the Sacramento A's don't want to be called the Sacramento A's? Oakland is gone. The name Oakland is gone. They're just going to go with the A's. To which I respond, you're playing in Sacramento, you're the Sacramento A's.
Yeah, of course.
When you're here in Vegas, you're the Las Vegas A's.
So what are they going to say?
The A's.
Yeah, but like...
A's.
I guess.
What are you called? A's. Or Athletics.
It's weird.
Sacramento A's. Mark it down.
Stay there.
Listen, man, I want baseball here. I want this to work. As I said, when they break ground, if the money's there, then he upheld his end of the bargain, and let's go.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill.
Viva Las Vegas!
Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, we got the Chiefs fans starting to build a crowd here at Front Yard Ellis Island. I have a couple of Buck fan friends showing up. They might be outnumbered.
So far, yeah. It's about, I'd say, 30 Chiefs fans.
I have a good feeling tonight, though. I'll tell you why in a couple of minutes. It's interesting. One, Jason Kelce screaming out anti-gay slurs, working tonight. Why isn't he suspended? Now, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. I don't want him suspended.
Right.
But if you didn't hear, Kelce got involved in a fracas on Saturday where someone walked up to him and yelled at him about his brother using the slur. Self-control is not easy, especially when someone's pushing your buttons. Just watching him on the set for Monday Night Football, just the size of his noggin. Like, there are certain human beings where if you're a trash talker, are you that fearless or are you just stupid where you're like, oh, nothing's going to happen? He's a celebrity. He won't do anything.
That's what it is.
I'm like, but what if he does?
Yeah, but that's what it is, though. It's the selfie. Because he was, if you look at what he was doing while it was happening, it was like that selfie thing where you put your arm around somebody and put the phone in their face because he actually touched him. And so I
guess, you know, the only times I did that when I was about 16 and I was so like media focused at even 16, you know who I yelled at? Mike Lupica. You know how big Mike Lupica is? Yeah. He's not big.
No, it's very tiny.
You got to pick your opponents.
You know what though? That's a guy I would yell at too. Mike Lupica deserves to be yelled at.
I didn't like him when I was 16.
That's great.
And then he got me really angry. I have to look back now. Remember the Pac-Man Jones strip club shooting thing?
Yes.
And Mike Lupica from 3,000 miles away was getting after Metro.
For what?
The way they were handling the investigation, which he has no idea what he's talking about. He has no knowledge into law enforcement at all. And I actually called him up.
What'd he say?
Because I had his number. I didn't call him up to, like, bitch him out. I was like, hey, would you like to come on? He's like, nah, I can't come on. you gutless punk.
Yeah. Whatever.
But the example is Mike Lupica's 5'5" and 140 pounds. If you think you're gonna walk up to a former NFL center who's won not even a year out of the league, still over 300 pounds, and like I said, you know, the features where the head's gigantic. These are like next level human beings.
It's like when you see a dog's paws and they're huge. You're like, wow, that dog's gonna be really big and strong.
I'll mess up a poodle. If you want to go to that lane, I'm not going to mess up a poodle, but you get my point.
Yeah, for sure.
Like walking up on a freaking vicious-looking dog and going, you know what, I'm going to tease him a little bit. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, like an angry mastiff. No thanks.
I got some fun with – you're not going to do anything? I'm sure he's domesticated?
Mm-mm.
So, let's stop doing that. And frankly, the lesson I throw out there, don't do it to Mike Lupica types either.
Well
– let's stop yelling at each other and thinking like someone doesn't have the right to go and turn around and take your phone and throw it a mile and – or spike it or do anything else. Stop being jackasses.
To your point, though, the social media thing, it probably would have worked out better for the guy if he did punch him in the face. You know, he's probably looking for something like that when he went.
Well, then he should have put his phone away and put his chin out. He should have,
right.
Like, do this move.
Like a daredevil.
I'm not saying I've done it before, but maybe.
Did they hit you?
I didn't get a punch in the face, but I had a bottle thrown on my head.
Did it hit you or no?
Nope. Oh. Whizzed right over top, but that could have been. I'd be a jagged-looking guy right now.
It's like the Matrix. You just kind of like, woo.
Bad arm, and he was close to.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, if you want to do it, but don't just stand there like a dumbass and think like someone's not going to do something, especially someone that big.
Right.
But, yeah, Jason Kelce's on TV. I have no idea if ESPN had to release a statement. You know, but the point, I think people forget something, and maybe even walking up on him, you don't size it up where you're like, oh, it's like just Jason Kelce sitting on the set and Swagoo next to him, Marcus Spears, who's gigantic.
Enormous, yeah.
6'4".
I don't know where they get those suits made. Look at that material on that suit.
Just, I don't know what people are thinking. Really stupid. Very stupid. I think I don't have to do this, but I think the Bucks will cover tonight. And let me get the latest number because it was toggling between as high as 9.5 and 8.5. I would sprinkle some money on the money line. I think they're going to win.
Ooh.
How about that, Greg?
I don't know about win. If it is this, the spread is that large, because I'm looking for it too. I think that maybe they'll cover because the Chiefs haven't been blowing people out. It's kind of like the Raiders. I thought the line was kind of high because the Raiders were, you know, giving 10.
I remember that when I saw the Bengals keep pushing it to 3 touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I kind of didn't feel like the Raiders were going to get blown out. They were going to cover, though, and that's kind of like how I feel here. I feel like they'll cover maybe because the Chiefs aren't really blowing teams out, but I think the Chiefs will wind up winning the game.
I like Baker Magic.
I like Baker a lot, but he's not Mahomes.
I think he thrives in the spot. And I think the Bucs are a pretty decent team.
They are. Kind of injured, though.
But you know what? Before the season, I thought a lot of teams were going to have good years and other teams would not be so great. Boy, oh boy, was I wrong. ESPN.com on their front page today had a Bill Barnwell story.
Yeah.
By the way, the number is 9. Chiefs total is 44. ESPN.com had a story on 4 of the biggest failures or most disappointing teams this year.
Yeah.
And I looked at the list, and I was like, I knew 3 of those 4 teams weren't going to be good. And then I look back, and I'm like, oh, wait, I picked one of them to win the division. Oops. His list was Cowboys, Browns, Jaguars, Saints. Now, will you lie to us and say that you thought all 4 would suck, or did you think some of those teams would be good?
I thought the Cowboys would be better.
I didn't think the Cowboys would be 3-5. I thought they would do about what they've done, maybe drop down a win. They've won 12 a bunch of years in a row here, maybe win 10 or 11.
Right. I think
and find me the person who picked. I'm not saying no one, because I will tell you, all listeners should train in on this thing, hone in on this thing. If you hear anyone in sports say, no one thought this, shut up. Shut your freaking mouth, because you don't know that.
Well, it's hyperbole, I'm sure.
People do that all the time because they didn't realize it was going to happen.
Yeah, of course. Right.
But that doesn't mean no one thought that.
Well, sometimes, you know, a magazine comes out and a bunch of them, they're all rated below, you know, the power rankings, all that stuff. People look at that stuff too, I think.
In fact, my goal when I made some of my picks was every year the NFL has wackadoo outcomes and a team or two come from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I just didn't nail the teams coming from out of nowhere. Like, I didn't think the Buccaneers could jump this high this quickly. But they're 7-2.
But that's why when people are always looking at the before the season, they look at the schedule, they're like, win-loss. Yeah. You can't do it that way. You can go in your head and be like, okay, overall, I think somehow or another they're going to win this many games. But to go to each game individually, because you have no idea who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. Just like when the season starts, they're like, well, this team has the hardest schedule in the league. How the hell do you know? Yeah. That team could be terrible. If one team in your division is terrible, that's 2 games you have against terrible teams now.
Cowboys, Browns, Jaguars, Saints. So I thought the Cowboys would be okay. I didn't think they'd be this bad and, you know, didn't know that Dak was going to get hurt or be sitting on the sidelines going, we blank and suck.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame them. They do.
The Saints one's kind of weird because it's almost like they're waited 2 weeks. You know, because coming into the season, I don't think people thought the Saints were going to be good.
Oh, I didn't know. No.
Really?
Yes, there were people who were very high in the Saints.
Oh, I wasn't. And then 2 weeks in, they look like they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you know.
Well, one of the reasons that I couldn't sign up for the Saints was Dennis Allen.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned it. He got fired today, which sucks. Don't root for anyone to get fired. Frankly, I never understood the hire in the first place.
Yeah.
Of all the people who should get a second chance, Dennis Allen.
Right.
And it did not work out, and it consistently did not work out. And they had their Thursday night game a few weeks back where they just completely embarrassed themselves and didn't look like the effort was there. So he's gone, and they will be one of the teams that'll be on this – hunt for a head coach, which that list is going to be incredible, by the end of the season, potential head coaches in the National Football League.
What do you think of that job? If you're a coach out there, would you take that job?
No.
No.
They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah. I guess. They thought they did.
I don't think anyone is desperate enough to take a NFL job without the quarterback in place. I don't care what you've been through or, I mean, I guess there's extreme cases where, you know, you're not coaching in the NFL. But if you're employed and your star's on the rise again or for the first time, why would you screw yourself by going into a situation where you don't have the quarterback? So that's not a great job. I think the Jaguars have been a disappointment, and if they don't turn around, Peterson is not going to be there. That is potentially a good job. Depending on what you think of Trevor Lawrence, like, I don't think he's like a bottom 12 quarterback. Is he a top 10? Not yet, but he has potential.
I think he's super overrated.
But at least he gives you a chance.
I guess.
The other disappointing team on the list, because Barnwell listed Cowboys, Browns, Jaguars, Saints. Browns have been disappointing to me, but I'm like one of the few people who had some faith and hope in Deshaun Watson. That was misplaced.
Yeah, no, I had no
hope. He didn't bounce back. I had him winning the division.
I mean, I thought the Browns could be good just because I thought their roster, I liked their roster a lot, and I thought maybe if Watson wasn't terrible, like as long as he didn't hurt them, but he did not help them, or he definitely hurt them.
Watching them yesterday, Bad Jameis was there. Their O-line didn't play well. They have no pop in the running game because Nick Chubb ain't 100%. But then you watch their defense, and you're like, my Lord, Myles Garrett is awesome.
Oh, he's so
good. Destroyed Rashawn Slater several times where it wasn't even a contest, and Slater's a top half of the league left tackle.
Yeah.
But the Chargers were able to run the ball, and they played really good defense. So the Browns, my pick to win the AFC North. The three teams that I said, you know what? They've been riding high over the years. They're going to fall this year. I did not have the Steelers, the Ravens, or the Bills making the playoffs.
I thought the Ravens would take a step back, but I did like the Steelers. I thought the Steelers were going to be good. What was the other team? I'm sorry, I forgot.
The Bills.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's always so – I'm not even high on the Bills right now. Everybody's so high on the Bills.
Well, you know what the mistake – anyone, including myself, who thought the Bills could take a step back, one, it was, is Josh Allen going to survive with a lesser wide receiving core?
Right.
And the AFC East should have a little competition with the Jets and the Dolphins.
You would think.
And the Dolphins fell apart because they had no Tua, and nothing's worked with the Jets. So now the Bills have an easy path.
I like the Bills, but, again, going into the playoffs, I'm not going to have – I mean, I don't think they're going to win this. I don't think they're a team that's going to go deep in the playoffs.
Why not?
I just don't – they just – they're too inconsistent to me. Like, there's a you they'll go into a game – it's kind of like if you play a team last week that won by 40 or something, and then they come in and you're expecting to do it again. They just don't. I don't know why, but it's like they can't really put it together on a consistent basis. Now, I know you can look back and be like, oh, they won a lot of games with Josh Allen. They have. But then look at some of the playoff games where they just didn't show up. So, I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of like Cowboys to me. I feel like it's going to end badly.
Distracted by fake Andy Reid's.
Oh.
I do have to admit that, and I don't know if you watch commercials. I watch a lot. Because I don't fast forward. I will sit there on my phone during the breaks. Griffin, chime in on this. Do you like or hate the Bundle Rooski? Do you even know what the Bundle Rooski is? Am I the only one on the show who knows what the Bundle Rooski is?
Sounds like some kind of commercial shtick. I gotta hear more about it.
You gotta watch it. Again, the acting chops of the Walrus, Kermit and the Walrus. I'm here. And Bundle Rooski. Have you seen it with Andy Reid?
I haven't seen that one.
You got to watch it.
I like the one where he's like, give me those nuggies or whatever. The chicken.
When he walks over with his fingers?
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty
great.
Slick.
That's great.
Trying to steal my nuggets.
Yeah, that's like he's done it before.
And that's, don't you connect with a big fella like that? Wait, you're going to steal my chicken nuggets after you took a bite out of my burger?
I love me some Andy Reid.
Yeah. Bundle Rooski. He loves saying it. I think that was him. I don't think it was someone standing in. 5 o'clock hours on the way. We'll get more on the Raiders and their firings today.